Well, welcome everyone to our service this afternoon. We do have visitors, and we're glad that you've come to be with us tonight. I want to mention that, of course, this being the fifth Sunday of the month, we have our congregational meeting at the end of our worship service. And we normally have a short sermon, and then after the sermon, we'll have a song of encouragement. The Lord's Supper will be offered to those who would like to partake of it. We'll have the announcements. Rusty will come before us after that and give the announcements. And then we'll go right on into the congregational meeting. We'll have a closing prayer at the end of the congregational meeting. Those of you who are visiting, you're welcome to stay during the congregational meeting, or you're welcome to leave after the service. So it's whatever you choose to do. But it's good to have you here this evening. The lesson, the short lesson, is regarding the congregational meeting. As you know, our policy has been for the past year or two since we've started the congregational meeting is for, if there are any questions or comments that anyone has, to present it to the elders in writing. And we'd prefer that prior to the meeting, or even during the meeting, you could write your questions and comments and send them to us. Well, we would like there to be more discussion. We'd like for there to be more to be said during the congregational meeting. And so we changed that to say that we will allow men to speak, to make comments, to ask questions during the congregational meeting, but we are still going to request that women not speak during the congregational meeting. That if you have questions or comments, you can relay that to your husband, and he then can relay that to the meeting. Or if your husband, you do not have a husband with you, you can relay that to one of the men, or you could present it to us in writing. And so that's what we will then do. Now, I want to give the scriptural basis for why we do this. Why is it that we are stating this policy for our congregational meeting? The reason basically is twofold. It's because of what the Bible teaches concerning the submission of women in the church, and also what the Bible teaches concerning respecting the conscience of a brother or of brethren. And so those are the two basic foundations upon which we then make this request during our congregational meeting. The Bible teaches that the woman's role in the church is a submissive role. Look with me, first of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Paul says, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So Paul says that a woman is to learn in silence with all submission. That silence is more of a condition of the heart, a tranquility of heart. It's not necessarily meaning not saying anything, but that her disposition should be one of silence, the one of a meek and quiet spirit. And it's to be in submission, with all submission. And so she has been given a submissive role within the church. And so he says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." The teaching, the prohibition for her to teach, is qualified by the statement, "nor are to have authority over a man." She's not to teach in those situations of where she would have authority over a man. Why? She is to be in submission. We know that women teach. We find places in Scripture where women taught. Aquila and Priscilla, a man and his wife, expounded unto Apollos the way of God more accurately. It was not only Aquila, but Priscilla also was involved in explaining to Apollos the way of God more accurately. So here you even have a woman included in the teaching of a man. But she did not take control. She was not usurping authority over a man in that. We find that women are to teach their children, Titus chapter 2. They are teachers, but the prohibition or the requirement that the Lord has placed upon her, the restriction, that was the word I was trying to search for, the restriction that the Lord placed upon her is that in that she is not to usurp authority over a man. And so the Lord has given her that submissive role. And someone says, well, that was cultural. That was because of their culture in that day, and that's the reason those instructions were given. And we live in a different culture, and therefore it doesn't apply to us. Well, you've got to read verses 13 and 14 of this chapter to show that that's not the case. The reason that's given for this instruction is based on what God did in the beginning when He created man and woman. He says in verse 13, "For," here's the reason, "Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." So the reason that women have been given the submissive role is because of what God did in the beginning when He created man before the woman. And also because the woman was deceived in the transgression, therefore this was a consequence. She was given a submissive. It's not a punishment, but it is a consequence of what happened. And therefore, this is God-ordained. This is not cultural-ordained. It's not man-ordained. This is God-ordained that a woman is given a submissive role. And we've talked about many times before that this does not mean she's inferior to man. We're not talking about inferiority here. Jesus submitted to the Father, but He was not inferior to the Father. He was not an inferior deity to the Father, but He did submit unto the Father. We find today that we all submit to civil authorities. When a policeman pulls me over, he has the authority to do that, and I have the responsibility to submit. But that doesn't mean that the policeman is superior to me because I'm submitting to him. It could be the mayor that the policeman pulls over. And here's the mayor of the city, and he is having to submit, but his submission doesn't mean that he is inferior to the one who he is submitting to. The point is that submissive role does not mean inferiority. It just means that God has given woman a submissive role. And there are many responsibilities that God has placed upon the woman within the church, in the home, that are of utmost importance and is not any less important than the responsibilities that He has given men. But we know that she's been given a submissive role. Look with me also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse 33, 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches." He's talking about the assemblies. "For they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached?" Now notice that women in this assembly were told to keep silent. Keep silent in the churches. Why? "For they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive." The reason that she is told to be silent, she's not permitted to speak, is because she is to be submissive. That's the reason. I believe, I understand this passage to be saying that in this assembly, that in her speaking, that she would have been taking on a authoritative position. If you'll notice back in verse 29, He says, "Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So you have this prophets speaking at different times, and the one who would then speak, the others would sit by. And then when a revelation would come to one and this one would complete his speaking, he would sit by, the other one would step up and speak. I see this as they would be taking the floor. Whoever spoke took the floor. And they then took control of that assembly, and they then spoke. And so, because the woman is to be in a submissive role, therefore she is not to speak. She is to be in submission, as also the law had said. My understanding of this passage is that that's the basis upon which that restriction is given. That is, she's not to speak in the churches, is because she is to be in submission. I believe there are times that a woman could speak in the assembly. She sings. We know if she came forward, a woman came forward and was wanting to be baptized, she could state her confession in the assembly. But she's not in that taking the floor. She's not in that controlling that assembly or usurping authority over a man in making those comments. The restriction of her keeping silent in the churches and the reason for that is stated in the text itself. He says there in verse 34, for she is to be in submission, or they are to be submissive, as the law also said. So any speaking that would violate that principle of submission then would mean she is not to speak. Any speaking that would violate that principle. However, there are some who believe that she's not to speak at all. That all speaking in the assembly is prohibited. It is shameful for her to speak in the church, meaning that any speaking that she would do, she is then not to do. And because of that, we want to respect the conscience of those who believe that. We sure do not want to override the conscience. But let me say before I mention that even though I think that even in an assembly, a woman could speak, there is a sense in which she can, even if she's not violating the principle of submission. In a congregational meeting, we have come together to discuss the work of the local church. And so we'll be discussing ideas, we'll be discussing what we'll be have done, what we will be doing, any thoughts about what needs to be done. And so as we talk about those things, there is the potential for some differences, different ideas. There's some who may want to present a particular idea and not push it, but at least present it as something that he would like to be done. There's the potential then for a woman, if she did speak in that kind of assembly, to be come out of the role of submission. And we don't want to put a woman in that position of being put in a position where her speaking may come out of that role. And so that's the reason that we have said that it would be better for her not to speak. She can relay it to her husband. She can write it and present it in writing if she would desires to do that. Or if there's something you want presented, you can present that to the elders prior to the congregational meeting. And also, because there are those who believe that it's wrong, period, for them to speak, therefore, we surely would not want to override that conscience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Paul is saying, even though he had the right to do something, if a brother believed it to be wrong, and his doing it would then cause his brother to do it, to violate his conscience, he says, I will not do that. I am not going to do what I believe that I have the right to do if it's going to lead my brother to stumble and commit sin. Paul makes this same point in Romans chapter 14, in verses 14 and 15. He says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do you destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died? Look at verses 19 to 21. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. And so that's another reason that we have requested that women not speak in this congregational meeting. It is an assembly of the church, is because some would not be able to be in this assembly. They would not feel like that they could continue to be here if that is what we would do. So we're surely not going to override their conscience in the matter. So that's the two scriptural bases for why we have stated the policy. It's because of what the Bible teaches concerning the submission of women and what the Bible teaches concerning respecting the conscience of a brother. There may be some here this evening who need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. And that means, and what I mean by that is that if you are in sin, you are not right with God, you don't have the hope of eternal life, then Jesus is inviting you to come to Him and you are subject to that invitation. You need to come. You need to say yes to the invitation of Jesus. And if that be you, we want you to come forward tonight. Come to Jesus, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, ones who have never become Christians. And on the basis of your faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and then on that confession of faith, be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins. We encourage you to do that tonight. If you've become a Christian, but you have committed sin, you've fallen away, repent and ask God to forgive you. Confess your sins before God and ask Him to forgive you. And if your sin is of a public nature, you need to confess it to the brethren as well. You need to let it be known that you have sinned, you've repented, and you want the prayers of the brethren. And if you need to come, if that's where you are, you do need to come. And we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.